I'd like to read one verse from the book of Lamentations, chapter 1. Lamentations, chapter 1. You can find the book of Isaiah, and then the book of Jeremiah, and then the small book of Lamentations, and chapter 1. Lamentations, chapter 1, and we'll read verse number 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. I'm not sure exactly what the circumstances were that possibly caused Jeremiah to write these words. No doubt there were times when these men were affected by what they were themselves experiencing. But I trust that we might all understand that what we have read of deals with a place in this world called Calvary. And I'd like you to come with me in the last few minutes of this meeting to a place called Calvary, for it is a place of repentance, and it's a place of redemption. Very simply, we have read tonight of a passing crowd. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And tonight you are being faced with the greatest of all realities. You are passing a place where there is salvation. You are passing a place and a person that is speaking to you tonight. And tonight we are dealing with a passing crowd. Secondly, we are dealing with a painful cross. We have read of sorrow that is unique. We have read of affliction on the day of his fierce anger. And upon that cross hung a man in agony, suffering, shame, and pain. And this verse brings before us a painful cross. And behind all of this, with regard to the one saying these words, there is a pleading Christ. He's speaking to you tonight, and he's asking you, is it nothing to you, all the suffering of that tree, all that I have accomplished, all that I have suffered on your behalf, is it nothing to you? Does it not mean anything to you tonight? This place called Calvary has been termed the hinge of eternity. Tonight in this meeting, I look into the faces of many, and earlier in this day, we stood in a place where we were reminded of death and eternity. And I couldn't help but think of how differently that solemn funeral would have been had that woman, our sister, a fellow believer, not come to this place that we have read of tonight and turned. Calvary involves the hinge of eternity. Destinies are altered at Calvary. It's been termed the great divide. And tonight there are those in this audience that have come by faith to Calvary. And our hearts have been turned. And our wills have been broken. And we have acknowledged our guilt. And we have turned to Christ. And our eternity has been changed and altered with wondrous blessing. But I'm speaking to individuals tonight, and you too will come to this place called Calvary. And you too will turn. And friend, if you turn away from Christ, there is only one destination and one destiny. And that is to be lost forever. It's the great divide. And tonight we are dealing with some passing realities. I trust you understand tonight that the Bible tells us that we are linked with a passing creation. I'm not sure if we're passing time or if time is passing us. It's one of those questions that I just can't quite understand. Some of you can help me with that. But something is passing. We're all getting older. This little journey of life is going too quickly. I can hardly believe I'll be 50 this year. Just yesterday I was 21. Just the other day I got married. Just the other day our sons were born. And suddenly the journey keeps on going. We're all passing. This little journey of life is passing us by. And one of these days, all that you have put your guarantees in will have passed away. All that you have centered your attention on will be gone. And friend, if all you have tonight is only temporary, what a loss it will be, because it'll all pass away. Some, and I understand, I am not finding fault with education. I'm thankful for the years that I was able to spend in gaining an education. But if all that you've got is a college degree and a job with that, and that's all you have for eternity, friend, you are to be pitied, because it'll pass away. If all you have are stocks and bonds in the bank, you are to be most pitied. Money will take you everywhere except to heaven. Money will buy everything except peace. And in the end, when life passes you by, when you relinquish your grasp on all that you know tonight, you'll go into eternity with empty hands and with a guilty soul. God tells us that this creation is passing and will pass away. And as Peter writes, he makes us aware that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And he tells us, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God has decreed that he is going to deal with every vestige of sin. And sin has marked this creation and marred this world that God made. And this creation as we know it will pass away. And all the works with it. Tell me, what do you have that will stand forever? We're dealing with a passing creation and a passing life. Oh, would that you would be wise for eternity. But we can tell you tonight of a passing Christ. It moves me to think that he ever came. And that he actually passed by dusty roads in this world. Oh, the wonders of his love. See him coming from above. He came down to this little speck of sand called earth to atone and die for thee. Praise him cheerfully. That he would even come is overwhelming. You somehow have it in your mind that Christ was obligated to come. You have it in your mind that Christ is obligated to speak to you. You have it in your mind that Christ is obligated to save you. He didn't have to come in the first place. But not only did he come and walk down dusty roads, but he actually passed alongside of individuals. What a moment it must have been as he came to a boat and there were a couple of men. And he says, "Men, I want you. I want you to follow me." And men heard his voice, the passing Christ, and they followed him. Life was changed. Eternity was changed. And tonight the same Christ is passing this way, passing through the Vancouver, passing your life. And he's calling you. He could turn to a crowd and he could say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Passes by and he calls. Why haven't you heard his voice? He's called you. He's come right alongside of you. He has tapped you on the shoulder and he has told you, I want you. For he's not willing that any should perish. And up until now, there's been no response. He passed by others with a listening ear. I'd love to have been in Jericho that day when that large crowd was going down that road. I don't know what they were talking about, but they were just following Christ. And all of a sudden, the passing Christ stopped. No, there wasn't an accident up ahead. He heard something. He heard the imploring call of a blind beggar. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What I need, you are able to provide. What I desperately long for is in your hands. What nobody else can do, salvation is found in you. Jesus, have mercy on me. And the passing Christ stood still. What grace! And of course the crowd rushed over and told the poor blind beggar, be quiet. He's not interested in you. But the Lord Jesus said, bring him to me. And the passing Christ heard a still, imploring voice of a poor beggar. And Jesus stood still. Tell me, why haven't you called? Bartimaeus did, and he got the blessing. Salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus was right there. I'm going to tell you something. Salvation for you tonight in 1999 is equally as close. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know why you haven't called? You've been hearing already in the first part of this meeting, you don't think you need them. Not right now. I'll figure it out. I'll get it someday. I'll put first things first, and then I'll... And he's passing by. Oh, the wonders of his grace. A passing Christ. But what we have read is a passing crowd now. Suddenly, the picture has changed. The journey of Christ has come to an end. He's come to the ultimate focus of his work. He has come to the place where sin is going to be put away and when the mighty price of our redemption is going to be paid in full. At that moment, there were men that took the Savior, led as a lamb to the slaughter, and they nailed him to a tree with arms outstretched. And they lifted up that cross and they stood there and the crowd began to pass by. Tonight, friend, that's where we find ourselves in this meeting. For the focus of the gospel is the focus of Calvary. The personal work of a substitute, of one who would come to put away sin and to deal with your great need and to open up a door of salvation. And the crowd began to pass by. What kind of a crowd passed by that day? It was a careless crowd of unbelief and mockery. The Bible says they that passed by railed on him. They couldn't help but take the opportunity to vent their anger and their hatred of him. And as they passed by, I trust you understand that this was no ordinary sight. He had been mocked and taunted and abused. He had been spit upon. And of all the things that a human being can do to another human being, one of the most shameful is to spit upon another person's face. They spit upon him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They lacerated his back until
It was like a plowed field. They had took a rod and beaten his visage, his face. And now as they passed by, they railed on him. They tore into his character. They said, if you're really who you say you are, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And they passed by the Savior in their carelessness. I'm speaking to individuals here tonight, and you've heard about the cross for years, some of you. Maybe for some of you that are young here tonight, maybe this is a new message. That everybody passes the cross somewhere along the line. It almost seems, and maybe this is just a very simple thought, but it almost seems as if when the Lord Jesus' hands was outstretched, it was God's final way of seeking to stop men and women from going to hell. If you lose your soul tonight, you have to go right past the outstretched arms of the Savior. Yet here you are, and you've passed the Savior by in carelessness. Never have come to an appreciation of His work. Never came to understand why He was there. Never stopped long enough to understand that He was the just one, dying for us, the unjust ones. He didn't deserve to be there. But He was all the same, willingly, voluntarily, submissively, that our souls might be saved and our sins might be forgiven. You've passed the Savior by carelessly. While I'm not suggesting that you're not interested in being saved someday, yet the work of the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that much to you. You're passing by in carelessness. There were others, and as they passed by the cross, they passed by in callousness. Hard to actually think of men sitting down underneath that cross and beginning to play their little gambling games for His garments. I don't know what they used, but they likely rolled the dice. All right, you take that part. I'll take that part. We'll roll again. And they rolled again. And beneath the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were those that were playing in callousness. Precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ stained that little hill. That meant nothing to them. Is it possible I'm speaking to some and you two are playing with the wonderful and wondrous truths of the cross? More interested in what you can gain in this world than in what He accomplished at that place? More interested in moving ahead and profiting in time rather than profiting for all eternity. And some here tonight, I'm afraid, are callous. And you're playing silly little games. And you'll lose your soul for all eternity. As the crowd passed by, there were some that stopped to ponder and to wonder and to believe. I believe I can safely say that there were at least two that were saved that day. There was a thief that was awakened. No, he wasn't passing by physically. But for a good part of his life and for a good part of those early hours of his suffering, he too passed the Savior by. He too railed on Him. But there came a moment when he was awakened. There came a moment when he was gripped by the fear of God. There was a moment when this man came to the brink of eternity and he faced it. And tonight, friend, I trust you will be awakened to understand that you're likely closer to the brink of eternity than what you want to acknowledge. None of us have any guarantee of tomorrow. None of us have any guarantee of finishing our college degree. None of us have any guarantee of finishing that project and getting our next paycheck. We're in borrowed time. We're at the brink. And here's a man, he finally woke up, and the fear of God gripped him, and he looked away to Christ. And he understood something he had never understood before. This man upon this cross, dying just as we're dying, we deserve it. We're guilty. We've done nothing right. this man has done nothing amiss. Absolutely sinless. Absolutely perfect. And the big question is, why was he there then as the bearer of sin? Why was he on that cross? He was there as our substitute. But there was another man. I can't help but believe that he was saved that day. I'm not told his name, but he was a centurion. And as he stood, the Bible is over against Jesus. I would take it that he was fairly central in that execution procedure. He no doubt gave orders. He no doubt orchestrated the whole thing. He made sure that his man did the job right. And as he stood there waiting for the moments to pass, waiting for the hours to pass, he stood over against Jesus and he was watching him. When he saw the things that were done, the Bible says he glorified God and said, certainly this was a righteous man. And when he saw the way that he died and all the things that were accomplished, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were those that stopped to ponder. And tonight, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by in wondrous grace. And through the gospel, God is bringing you as a part of a passing crowd alongside of his Son. And what you are facing tonight is the awful suffering of that tree that he experienced. A load that couldn't be weighed. A darkness that couldn't be penetrated. A distance that can't be measured. I'm going to close, but let me just say this, that in the darkness of that scene, there was a man who said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? There was a distance that couldn't be measured. My friend, there was a love that can hardly be described tonight. His was a love that many waters could not quench. And tonight he stands once more, the pleading Christ. And he's saying, is it nothing to you? Look at my hands and see, I bore the nails for thee. I died to set thee free. Make me thy choice. You're going to do something with him tonight. And for all of us, we all come to a final choice concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you, does he not mean anything to you? If you have to say, sir, he doesn't mean anything to me, but you have come to understand your needs, that he stands with a love that only Calvary could describe. And again he says, in wonderful grace, come unto me, and I will give you rest. There is forgiveness and salvation and eternal life in Christ. As he passes by one more time, turn to Christ and live for time and eternity. Shall we pray? Father, we commend thy word to thee and thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee that he ever came and that he spoke words that were truthful words. He revealed our need. And Lord, we're thankful for the warnings of the Savior and for the warnings that are found in thy word. We pray there might be some here tonight that would turn from their sin, that they might acknowledge their guilt, that they might admit to their indifference, that, Lord, they might confess that they have been so busy with their own pursuits that they have seen no beauty and value in Christ. And we pray that tonight they might turn in the fullness of their need and simply receive the great provision of heaven, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for what Calvary means to thee. And our Father, tonight we bow thankfully, many of us in this meeting, for this place called Calvary. We will always look back to Calvary. We will always appreciate the man who hung there and suffered in our place. And Lord, we pray that there might be someone even in our midst tonight that would find beauty and value in His work and in His person. Lord, we pray that Thou visit us again. Visit this city, we pray, and visit hearts tonight as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 158. And again, our thanks for your attendance and for your rapt attention. And we trust tonight that God will speak even as we leave this meeting. And as you go to your various places of residence, that you might have dealings with God and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior and turn from your sins. 158, oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and sweet. He tenderly entreats you, your burden lay at my feet. Though you are sad and weary, there's none so kind as He. Then what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall the answer be? We'll sing verses 2 and 3 of 158. We'll stand.